by the committee, what process are we going to follow on this matter? Honourable Gomez.
Thank you, Chairperson. This is not a stand that we are enjoying that we're making here today. We've had a discussion as a caucus, as a committee, and we are feeling that Itikweni, we've had nothing from them, and the Pixley, Katema, we received only a few hours ago. We received that yesterday, but it was too late. So we are going to deal with the Francis Bartman. That's the only one we will deal with this morning. Now, we are doing this because of the importance that we place on what we are doing here, and to do justice, not only as a committee, but to you as municipalities as well, to the provinces. You know, we're in this together. We're three spheres of government, and what we have to do is to make sure that we get delivery to the people on the ground. Now, whichever way we do that, and that is why we feel it's been getting slacker and slacker. And to the department, we are saying, please, get your house in order. It is not in order. That is what we are feeling. So we are asking then that we will only deal today with Francis Bartman. We are sorry because we realize that there is expense involved here, and that is paining us tremendously. So thank you very much for coming, but you're too late. Thank you.
Thank you very much. But I think there's a gentleman who raised his hands before. But I don't know whether it's possible for him just to represent the municipality, Tebile and Kislegaseme, to say this is the decision that has been taken. You are accepting it, whether you are not accepting it, but it's a matter that you need, because we have raised your hand before we went for meeting.
Well, thank you, Chair Lady, and good morning to the members of the committee. We are very, very sorry. We apologize for the lateness of the submission. There were some other extenuating circumstances, but we would actually prefer that the committee has sight of the material in good time, because we believe that we have a good presentation, and if there are any concerns that the committee has, it's better that we have a full engagement. We have no desire to pull the wool over the eyes of the committee by submitting something late. It was purely as a result of circumstances. There was a change in the format to the presentation, and we only received that on Thursday last week. But, you know, we're very happy to come back in order for the committee members to fully engage with the material so that we can have a robust discussion. So we fully accept the ruling. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Francis, in terms of our agenda now, I would request the department, the legal unit, and the state law advisors to give us this opportunity to deal with this, because, you know, when we are dealing with this legislation, also we need to do justice on it. We're not going to take much time. Yeah, I think it's 9:45 now. Let's say, because it's only one municipality, by 10:30, we might be finishing and we begin with the legislation. Thank you. Never.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. That's in order. Our legal team is here led by Edward Clardy on that aspect, so we can continue with that. Chair, just to indicate, I mean, on the presentation after last week, to not repeat what happened with Mangaung, and to ensure that the committee, from what our understanding, it would have been remiss if we had left this committee and not gone back. So what we've done is that we've gone and said to the respective municipalities, and that was sent out last week Thursday, to say, please focus on your deliverables in relation to the USDG. So that was what the change in the format was, because what we didn't want, it would have been remiss, as I indicated, and that was indeed sent last week Thursday, just to guide the municipalities, because we, as you said, we take this committee seriously, and it was important for us to do that. Thanks, Chair. So the presentations that will come will, without having to go through the Mangaung experience, that was the intention.
Okay. Thank you. Just to make a quick introduction for those who will be remaining, otherwise, thank you very much. Thank you all.
Good morning. I'm Gloria Borman, a member of this committee.
Morning, everyone. I'm Thabo Sosibo, Wipopikomika.
Morning, Doris Lawute, a member of this committee.
Morning, I'm Nokaya Mnisi, member of the committee.
Asambola, I'm Ketama Balastola, member of the committee.
Good morning, Patty Duncan, a member of this committee.
Dumelang, Stevens Mukharapa, the local committee.
Moleno, Mdua Bandu Machoba, the local committee.
Roy Bula, member of this committee. Thank you.
Sakani Pila from National Department of Human Settlement.
Kwezi Ngwena from Legal Services, National Department.
Abjan Tladi from Legal Services, Department of Human Settlement.
Precious Nkhabele, Legal Services.
Nongol Maile from the Office of the Chief Studio Advisors.
Amit Bhadra from DPME in the Presidency.
My name is Mili Lekhaba, Assistant to the Director General of Human Settlements Department.
Morning, Tisang Mujumi, Committee Support Service.
The name is Sean Solomon from the National Department of Human Settlements, Office of the DG.
Temingo Singoma, Committee Support Services, Parliament.
Good morning, I'm Naomi Tige from National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning. My name is Luka Nyolucha from Sanka.
Morning. My name is Adma Masuko from PNG.
Morning. My name is Jennifer Mirembe from National Human Settlements.
Good morning. My name is Revelation Mugisanyan from National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning. My name is Maureen Sichi from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning. I am Martin Matisa from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Morning, Chair, Committee members. Neville Cheney from the National Department of Human Settlements. Chair, just apologies for the DG. He has a commitment with the Minister and tendered his apology. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Renita Studio from Northern Cape.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Fernando McCarthy from National Department. Thank you.
I am Hastings Nell from Pixley, the Semi District.
The
then there were John Rolwan, the executive mayor of Pixliga Senate District Municipality. Thank you.
Mark Jack, Pixliga Senate District Municipality. I'm not so sure what further to say, but I wanted serious clarity on the issue of asset being sent back. Because I was looking through the correspondence again now. There's nothing that gave us an indication to say when the report is supposed to be submitted. So when we were phoned to say the report is needed, we did exactly that.
Thank you very much. Can I respond to that? The department knows. So we don't communicate with the municipalities directly. We communicate with the department. So we would request that that issue should be resolved between the department and the respective municipalities, even with the provinces. Our communication does go straight to the department, and then the department communicates further.
Do you think it's fair to deal with an institution that was not responsible, and then you leave the responsible institution? Because if it's the provincial department that was responsible for that, why would you then deal with us as an institution? Because I'm seriously concerned about the cost involved here, but also the whole question of us being deprived an opportunity to present our case here.
That is why we are saying we need to be fair. The portfolio committee has got the right to receive the document on time so that they interrogate the documents, and thereafter there should be positive deliberation. So I think that issue, it has been debated here. You were here. You heard the members, the concerns of the members, that this thing has been corrected for quite a long time. So I think this matter is between the national department. You discuss it with the department, and you make sure that they don't misrepresent they misrepresent the provinces, or the provinces should not misrepresent the municipalities. So you were here. Are you a councillor? Honourable councillor.
I'm the municipal
manager.
Yes.
Okay. Municipal manager, the accounting officer for Pixliga SME, I would request you to sit down with the province and the national department. Otherwise, our communication is one to the national department. They are responsible. So for us to be able to do justice to our work, we need to receive documents on time. Can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, Honourable Chair, also members. I'm Honest from Leon from Francis Bar District Municipality. I'm the CFO.
Good morning, Honourable.
I must say that this is not you. It's not the first time. Nelson Mandela had the very same experience, because we are trying to make things right. So that is why I'm saying, don't think that it's happening to you as quickly as you are just picked up, or you are being crucified, or you are the only one. You are not crucifying anybody else. We need fairness to our job. So that is why I'm saying it is not yourself. We did the same with Nelson Mandela. Until such time, they did the right thing. But we are not saying you have done wrong. Meet with the province and the department.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and the committee. Good morning. Good morning, Honourable Chair and the members of the committee. I'm Councillor Khadim Loi, the Executive Mayor of Francis Bar District Municipality.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I'm Mamiki Bohatu, the acting municipal manager, Francis Bart District Municipality.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Piet van der Raad, Director of Infrastructure Services at Francis Bart.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Sally Suleiman, the Housing Manager for Francis Bart.
My name is Wanda Nkosi from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Morning, Madam Chair. My name is Pascal Muloyi. I'm from the Human Settlements Capacity and Compliance Assessment Panel. Thanks.
Morning, everyone. My name is Shamai Kramer. I'm Parliamentary Legal Advisor. It's over to you, Professor Pat.
Okay, this is our report. Just a list of abbreviations. I think it's not necessary to spend time on that. There are about 18 points that we want to address quickly throughout the presentation, the background. Francis Bart, in the fulfillment of the mandate bestowed to it by being accredited for level 2 and in terms of Section 26 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act 108-96 and the Housing Act, National Code, the Housing Code is expected to form a full complement of housing functions as delineated in the accreditation framework. The legislation and the policy framework above confers to municipalities such as Francis Bart a directive to initiate, facilitate and manage the development of sustainable human settlements and reach the ultimate objective of acquiring level 3 accreditation. We were assessed in August 2009 by the capacity panel, and in May 2011, we were accredited level 1 and level 2 functions. If we just look at the demographics quickly, Francis Bart is a district municipality in the northeast corner of the Northern Cape, sharing borders with the Free State and Northwest provinces. It's one of 5 districts in the Northern Cape. Geographically, it's the smallest, only 3.4% of the area of Northern Cape, but we have the largest population, or about 33% of the population of the Northern Cape stays in Francis Bart. Population density in our region is 28 compared with the 2.96 for the province. We consist of 4 local municipalities, Saltlaaike, which are going to be accredited on its own, and then the 3 smaller ones is the Gatlong, Magareng and Pokwani. It's estimated that about 25,500 households are homeless. Almost 50% of these are in the Saltlaaike municipality, however. If we look at the maps, we are in the Northern Cape, that little corner there, and the big map gives us the municipalities. The audit outcomes, up to 2009-10, we had unqualified audits, the last 2 years without any matters. Unfortunately, last year we got a qualified audit with some matters, but we are working hard to rectify it this year. As access to basic services in Francis Bart is relatively high, I think if we compare it with the Northern Cape, but even with the country, it's not that bad. Then if we go to accreditation, since granting of conditional level 1 accreditation, the integration of the housing unit into the district functions were prioritized. Organigram was first approved on 23 April 2008. It's being populated. It was revised in 2011, and yesterday our budget for the new year was approved with another revision to the organigram. If we look there, all those yellow areas was added. Due to funding problems, which I will come to later. We are only going to fill the most critical posts, building inspectors, the posts that we really need to perform a proper function. Integration, the housing unit forms part of the infrastructure development department. It consists of three units, infrastructure services, housing, and planning and design. And the housing unit reports to the social development committee. Integration continued. The district supports this housing unit through other services, engineering. We've got three engineering technicians, one for each of the smaller municipalities that falls within Francis Barth. They assist these smaller municipalities with PMU functions, maintenance and operation issues in the districts, in the municipalities. We also have information technology, financial support, budget accounting, financial management, internal audit, environmental health, and human resources. All these units are assisting the housing to perform its function to the best. Intergovernmental relations, district IGR is chaired by the executive mayor. It includes all mayors and municipal managers. The forum is supported by the technical IGR, which is made up of all Section 57 managers, local municipalities, as well as representatives from the sector departments. This technical IGR informs the agenda of the district IGR, and the IGR meets regularly, at least quarterly. The next meeting should be in June. Okay, the housing unit also, if you look at 11, there is support that is going to the local municipalities from the unit as it is. We have concluded service level agreements with two of the three municipalities. The Pokwani one is still outstanding with some issues, but we are providing services to all three of them, Pokwani included. Project initiation, planning and design. We identify and assess viable projects, provide capacity and support, and monitor the execution of these projects. We've got a program of contract administration. We draw up a project plan, link to the budget, measure the activities against the implementation plan, and review these contracts and make recommendations to the department. Subsidy administration, the administration of all subsidy applications from capturing of application forms to providing feedback to applicants. Quality assurance, we have a building inspector inspecting, issuing payment certificates, assuring the quality of the product, ensure the quality of the work is in line with the requirements of national norms and standards and prescribed specifications. The housing backlog identification, we determine that, quantify and incorporate it in the National Housing Needs Register. And then capacity development is also part of the functions. Support that we have given to the local municipalities over the last couple of years includes housing sector plans for all of them. If I say all of them, I mean the three smaller ones. So Plaiti is carrying on with its own housing unit. We provided them with policies, contract management policies. Local SDFs was done through us for them. Housing demand research and check dwellers and informal housing occupants. And currently we are busy with a feasibility study on four ecologically designed housing projects, one in each of these municipalities. Shared services, I think it's sort of a repeat what was said before, except that we also assist them with a turnaround strategy. The turnaround strategy is our involvement there is mainly concentrating on the blue drop and green drop to assist them to get water and wastewater treatment plants registered, establish the capacity of these plants for future planning, and assist with O&M because O&M really is a big concern in especially smaller municipalities. That is the funding. Shared services, number 12, is the IDP formulation and review, environmental health, technical expertise, as I said, internal audit unit, the human resource, information technology, financial support, and the planning and development of town planning and GIS, and in the turnaround strategy. Funding, we've received capacity and enhancement funding from the department, 1.8 million. Page 19, Yeah. So I apologize for that, but that is the shared services in slide 19 there. I think I've mentioned all of them. IDP, the funding. We have received capacity enhancement funding over 3 years, 1.8, then 2.7. Last year it was 3 million, of which we only have, only 1.75 was transferred, but that balance we will receive in the new year by agreement with the department. Then this funding is capital projects that the district funds in the local municipalities in there. Mainly to assist their, supplement their MIG funding, so it's capital projects, mainly related to water and sanitation. For the current year, the total was 6.47, and we've upped it to 20 million for the next year. Our budget was approved yesterday, so this is an approved figure now. Funding, a study of the water and wastewater treatment plants in all the municipalities has just been completed, and our operation and maintenance funds that we will spend in those municipalities will be done according to this document. It is mainly to get the plants up and running, registered, which they are not, to train operators, and eventually then to improve their blue and green drop scores. That slide shows you the operation and maintenance funding. The district has decided some years ago to fund operation and maintenance in the local municipalities because they struggle to do so. We started off with a fund of 350 a budget, which now is for the last 2 years was more than 8 million, as you can see there. Okay, then outcome 8. Output 1 is the accelerated delivery of housing support functions, upgrading of informal settlements. In Francis Bar, the backlog is 7,000 according to the Housing Consumer Survey 2007. For this year, we have built 813 houses. The target was 116. And in the new financial year, we plan to do 304 sites, services, and then 305 houses. The achievements is up to marks. It corresponds not with our financial year, but with the department's. The funding for building houses is still not coming to the district. It's still with the province. Output 2, the National Upgrade and Support Program. So Plaiki is involved in that, and Pokwani is also designated to receive some of that support. up to 3 accreditation. As I said, Francis Barr and Sol Plaatje have been accredited to level 2, and our target for the coming financial year is just to expand the organigram and get the proper unit to do the function the way we should do it. Rental housing in Sol Plaatje, there is Sol Plaatje do have rental housing. We are involved in the smaller municipalities, and as yet we haven't, we don't know what the figure is. We will have to do a study sometime to establish that. Okay, number 15 is projects on which we did the quality assurance. I don't know, it's projects in all of these municipalities. It is not, we do this according to a service level agreement with the department currently. As I said, the funding housing for housing is still with the department. So we do the quality assurance on all those projects. That is the number of houses that has been built, and the last column is the allocation for next year. One project that we did is emergency housing scheme. Houses was damaged by floods last year in the Gatlong, and I think this is just to show that we are capable of doing a proper function. We secured the funding in February, and by the end of March, the 23 houses was completed. We've gone through all the proper processes. We had the funding was only available until March, so we really had to speed up processes. All proper processes was followed, and the houses are completed. We are able to provide the following services to human settlements in our municipalities: project identification and planning, project management, quality assurance, subsidy administration, contract management, and capacity development. We have been working HSS online since 2008, and HSS proper since February 2012, working with the National Housing Needs Register since 2009. There's unfortunately still problems with these systems, but it is addressed on an ongoing basis, sometimes not as quick as we should like it, but we are trying to solve the problems. The National Housing Need Register is operational, but challenges also exist. Then there are still some challenges for us to do the housing function proper. The municipal manager is still acting. We don't have a final municipal manager appointed. The post has been advertised now. Finances. The operational budget for the year we are in was 4.143 million, of which 3 million I showed you previously came from the department. 1.1 million was from our own funds. Eventually, at the year end, 1.25 of the department's funding was still outstanding. We require an operational budget for this next year of 7.7 million. We secured 4.8 million from the district, so there is a shortfall. With this 4.8 that the district approved, we will be able to provide a service, but we will not be able to populate the organigram fully. The implementation protocol is not finally in place. The HSS connection is not stable. National Housing Needs Register is a cause for concern. It's difficult to retrieve all information all the time. There is a shortage of suitable land in the municipalities. We are still struggling sometimes with the performance of emerging contractors. A big concern is the operation of and maintenance of infrastructure in the local municipalities. Our infrastructure is now reaching the end of its life. Before we expand housing further, we will have to look at all the bulk infrastructure. And coupled to that, the district doesn't receive MIG funding anymore. In the past, we used to use our MIG funding to supplement those of the municipalities. We don't get that anymore. The funding shortfall, unfortunately, will have an impact. We will try to provide the service, but sector plans, the needs register and policy development and stuff like that, we will have to put in abeyance until the outer years. And maybe in conclusion, in the Northern Cape, I think district municipalities are best equipped to deliver housing functions in the smaller local municipalities, which does not have the capacity and will struggle to build on a sustainable manner. I think in a short period, Francis Bart has established a functioning housing unit, and we have reached level 2 accreditation and looking to go further in shortly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jonathan Topic. Honorable members, that's the presentation. Honorable Labute, Honorable Halapa, Honorable Stone, Honorable Gomez, Honorable Petty, Honorable Nisi, Honorable Sosibo, Mam Jobe, and then Bula. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to thank the presenter, the municipality, for its presentation. I think I'm not the only one with many questions here. Chairperson, I'll start by asking them about their slide number 15, where they've indicated that they have completed some units, some are still outstanding. And my question there is, when are they planning to complete those outstanding, to build those outstanding, because they've already allocated other units for this financial year. So my other question is, in terms of the housing backlog, how many do you have? How many do you have? Because you are not saying anything about them as per the numbers. You also mentioned that plus or minus 25,500 households are homeless. And you also indicated in another slide that in terms of water, electricity, and what sanitation, you are about 90-something percent, of which I don't agree if you said plus or minus 25,000 people are homeless. Then do you mean that these people have sanitation and water and electricity while they don't have houses? Then my other question is that you mentioned that 2009-10 you have an unqualified audit opinion. Then 2010-11 is a qualified audit opinion. What were the reasons for that? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. Let me also appreciate the presentation. And at least you have done something considering the little resources that you are having, and you've managed your level 2 accreditation. The worry that I have is your funding allocation. Firstly, you're saying you don't get the MIG funding. I would want to get clarity on that one. Is it that because now you get the HSSDG, or what is the status quo on that one? And I would also want to ask, because if I see you've got a lot of basic infrastructure backlog that you are talking about here in terms of your bulk infrastructure, do you receive the RHIG, the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant? I'm worried about your funding. Your funding looks very, very much dubious. The challenges that we have, you would not be able to overcome them with the funding that you are getting. So let's get clarity on that one. The other one is on the issue of Salt Lucky Municipality. You are saying here you've got 25,000 households who are homeless and 50% of them are in Salt Lucky. But in all your presentation, I don't see you prioritizing salt plugging. You've got service level agreements with the three municipalities, but salt plugging doesn't feature anywhere. I would want to understand, why don't you synchronize the data that you're having that shows you where the imminent problems are, and you are not prioritizing them? You haven't given us, let me agree with Honorable Doris there, you haven't given us the stats of what is your actual infrastructure backlog. Because we would want you to move with infrastructure. You see, the premise that we are moving from as a committee is this thing of just being happy on building top-up structure. Top-up structure alone cannot make sustainable human settlement. You've got to start with infrastructure. That is why you'll see, I think all the members will ask you this question based on infrastructure, because that's where you need to start. We always make a fault of just, that's why you see open toilets going around the show, because of you build houses, but you don't put infrastructure first. So the emphasis is on infrastructure, and we'd want to assist you in unlocking those constraints that you might have in as far as in basic infrastructure, especially these rural municipalities, because of a lot of backlog is there. And yes, I'm very much worried about this figure of 92%. You see, statistics are deceiving at times. I don't understand how you arrived at that 92% of sanitation. Sanitation, as you heard the chairperson in her initial remarks, but we've got a big problem with sanitation. And for you to say 92%, you're enticing us to come to your municipality tomorrow, and you show us the 92%. Because you come here, you say 100%, and the actual reality on the ground there is pathetic. So be careful about that 92% that you are saying to us. But sanitation is one big issue that we are definitely up in arms about. And the qualified audit, you've got to explain this one. What are the reasons for that, for the next financial year that you receive a qualified audit, and as well as, let me go to the other one. Yes, one thing that is working with you is your intergovernmental relations. It's one strong point that you are saying you it's working well, and we would want to encourage you to keep it that way, because of with housing, if you don't have intergovernmental relations, then you can't manage your progress. So I would want to presume that you are doing well. But again, contrary to this, is to say, if you've got this well-functioning IGR forum, why then does the province not allocate you funding? What is those meetings are for? Is it for drinking coffee and tea or what? Do you raise the issues that you need funding for your projects, or what do you do in those meetings? It's not a comrades meeting. It must be a meeting that says we need
Stop
funding.
It. Stop it.
Chair,
give a member 3 questions, and then so that when we get to the next, your questions that you will
okay.
not read, and then you will come up.
So well, you cutting my wings?
Yes, I'm cutting your wings now.
So I must not plug.
No, stop
okay.
it now.
No, that's fine. Then let me keep it there, and then I will...
You will come.
I'll
yes.
call again.
If somebody has not raised in your question, then you will come up.
Thank you, Chair. Most of my questions have been asked. But only the two that I want to ask, Chair. The other one is that one.
Now, Chair, mine is on slide number 11, when the Pokwan is still outstanding. Pokwan or Pulukwan, I don't know. Pokwan is still standing. So now what I want to find out is the time frame, because you cannot say they are still outstanding because they have to sign this agreement. And the other one, Chair, is that one of the informal settlement. It shows that there is no priority on this informal settlement, because we cannot just say we have some up on slide number 14. Chair, there is no priority, but if you can check, we have a problem of informal settlement, because most of the time they are mushrooming to all provinces, but here there's no services. Some sites are not been services, and some there's no. So I don't know if they can give us some clarity. What is happening on informal settlement? And the last one, Chair, that one of accommodation, this rent area accommodation, it shows that there's nothing that is happening on that. But why? Because I know that they do have some that's the rent area accommodation in the province. What is happening? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I particularly want to make use of this opportunity, Chairperson, since we have the Executive Mayor here. Scrutinizing and interrogating this report, I then went onto the internet to go and look at the IDP process of this Francis Baard District Municipality. And I must really say that I'm very concerned, Chairperson, because it's an 88.8% population have some form of schooling, and over 41.4% of labor force is has some skills or is unskilled. And the unemployment in this district is 27.7%. And in one of the municipal areas, I don't know how to pronounce, how about to address is the Lahong with 40% of unemployment. And these are all very devastating percentages. And today we just have, you know, some information on the three municipalities. I will just put my question. On page, I think some of my colleagues referred, I just want to put it differently. I would like the district to give us a breakdown as per B municipality on water, sanitation, and electricity to just get a better understanding of what is going on within the B municipalities. And then my second question would be on page 26. I would like to know what was the real problem for the delay in reaching the target set with regard to the completion of projects. As you can see, everywhere where you see the zero, I would like more explanation on that. And then on page 27, the contract signed 23rd February 2012. I think it is important for us to know with whom was it signed, who was the contract given to. And then it also says construction completed 13th March. We would like to, and I would like to agree with my colleague here, Chairperson, that we actually go and visit this district and also the B municipalities. So I would like to know, you're saying it's completed, but if you can just give us a bit more information on that, on specifics, and not more. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. My question, I've got a clarity seeking question on page 26, because the number of outstanding units is more than completed units. I just want to know if you've got any problem, any capacity problem, because every time you don't meet your target. And on page 25, there's nothing under affordable rental accommodation. What is happening there? I need clarity. And under informal settlement, how many, it's not clear there, how many do you have? And how many have been upgraded? You said nothing about rectification here. Do you have any unit that needs to be rectified or not? And nothing is said under quality assurance. Nothing is said about NHVRC. Do you work with NHVRC? And my last question is, you've made mention of the fact that you've got scarcity of land parcels. Do you work with HDA, maybe, to assist you? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, that's the advantage, the disadvantage of raising your hand late, because you'll find that all the questions that you were going to ask have been taken by other members. Anyway, the question that I was worried about that at plus minus 25,500 households who are homeless. I was really very worried when it comes to the point of that 92% sanitation, because Honorable Makhalaba put it very clear, the question that, are they saying they just built sanitation where there is no houses? Maybe we need an explanation there so that we become very clear. And on slide number 13, funding capital projects, there is that salt lucky that has not been allocated any money. It's zero and some dollars on 2011-12. Does that mean nothing has been done with soil blacking? There is another one. Almost all the members that have spoken have asked the one that the qualified one. And 2010? Let me see the slide, because I can't see it now. The qualifications, yes. Audit outcomes. That 2010-2011. Truly, if you look at 2009-2010 and 2011-2012 saying you are working towards unqualified, then a question comes that what happened in 2010-2011? Can you just explain to us? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to repeat some of the questions. I just want to perhaps and to do a bit of a follow-up on the capacity that you have to deliver. And I want to pick up on your funding, where you've got your capital projects. There's a huge increase here, from 6 million to 20 million. Now, when we go to look at, and I'm not sure, this one slide of yours, 15, it's on page 26. I'm just trying to draw a comparison here. I see a huge drop in housing. I don't know if this is just the quality checking that you've done or whether this is units completed, you know, your targets. It's a little bit confusing. So if that is the case, then it seems to me that you're reducing your numbers. Your capital expenditure seems to be going up, and it doesn't kind of relate properly, if we can have an explanation about that. The other thing I want to ask you that hasn't come up yet, and that is, on page 13, you talk about all your systems being in place. I want to know, you know, in housing, the corruption that arises here in beneficiary lists, do you experience any of that? And how do you allocate your houses? What are your, do you have certain criteria? How do you operate with that so that, you know, you clamp down on the corruption? And then whilst it has been mentioned that you have good working relationships with the other two spheres of government, good intergovernmental relations, I have just picked up here that there are problems experienced with your systems and the National Department. And I think I would like clarity on that, please, because this is something that we've been trying to work on for a long time. What are the problems that you are experiencing there? Can I just have one other quickie? And it's related to my concern. It's related to my concern with the level 2 accreditation and the fact that the province still holds the money, okay? I want to know how that is working out for you between the province and the municipalities and the handovers and how that check is made out in checking the people who are occupying those completed units. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, it is true that our questions are more or less the same because, after all, we are trying to we are working on certain principles and the principles are the same. I will just add for detail. On the question of the 25,000 households being homeless, I would like you to translate that into numbers about how many people are we speaking about. Because that will also, as some members have said, it links to the question of the services that we have already rendered, which are quite questionable, particularly with regards to sanitation, as people have already said. Now, also on the question of the 2010-2011 financial statement, where you got a qualified report, it looks like, you say qualified with certain matters. I ask myself the question, but what matters? And what action have you taken up to now to address those matters that you raised in the qualified statement? Now, the other point Mrs. Gorman has just raised on the question of the funds that are still with the province, what I wanted to know is, in terms of, you know, the schedule, at what point do you normally expect the final allocation of your funds to come to you? I'm just thinking because this is May and the end of the year is July for the municipalities. We are only left with 2 months and there's still funds, your funds that align with the province. Because I think if there is something that is not working right there with the province is not releasing the money to the municipalities, we will be concerned and I think the committee would have to look into that. Now, Chairperson, on the question of capacity, in conclusion, you are talking about, something that we know, the local municipalities' capacity being lacking. But, you see, I'm not sure if I like the way you put it because you say your district municipality can help them because they are not going to be able to have the capacity in the sustainable future. But now my point is, if there's no capacity, what can be done to build that capacity? Because we have to develop it anyway. We can't go on and on and on with municipalities that have no capacity and you taking care of them all the time. We have to ensure that we develop their capacity in order to reduce some of the problems that we experience because of that. I think the other point that is just worrying me lastly is the exam of the bullets there. You see, it's too generalized. We would expect some time frame. For instance, I'll just quote them now. Slide 16, bullet 3. For me, if you could give us a time frame as to when that is likely to be done. And slide 17, the same. I ask myself the question, has it been done or is it ongoing? Bullet 5 on slide on slide 17 with regard to informal settlement. And slide 19, for example, the points there are too generalized. You see, I think we would like to get a little bit more detailed information on some of these either achievements or programs that are still going to be done. Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you. Nothing much left. However, most has been covered. But I think, Chairperson, that we are concerned about homes. We want to build homes. I'm concerned about the alignment. You know, the entire presentation, let's welcome that presentation, but I get the impression that there's areas of distortion. If we profess that we can deliver these homes as it appears on the paper there, why is it in the presentation we are not showing the muscle of capacity, which is of paramount importance? And I think if we really want to build homes and we are serious about the targets that appear on the slide, let's talk about synchronization, alignment. Let's talk about capacity. All the rest will fall by the wayside. That leads me to ask you the question. I would analyze the capacity and the strength of a municipality in the manner in which they deliver and upgrade informal settlements. I'm terrified that there is a glaring weakness about the upgrades of informal settlements. Chairperson, the next concern would be the issue about your oversight. We are glad that you have accredited to level 2. I'm not casting any aspersions, but that seems very good as an expression. Is there any monitoring, oversight between the province, your quality of delivery, and what is the relationship? Is there any space? You've indicated that you have your building inspectors to analyze quality. Is it a concurrent thing that you have oversight also by the province as well? Say lastly, which will be my third question, we must be careful how you're dealing with integration. We have to. Ultimately, if all is in line, you will then achieve your desired results of goals. Let me not talk about the issue about funding in those aspects, because you come out very, very strong in assisting in various other infrastructure programs, and we commend you for that. But I'm sad we have to look at that to believe. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is, now that the province is here and also National Indim is here, there was a disaster there. You made mention of that disaster. Well, what was the problem with the funding that you only received the funding in 2012 from the papers? Whereas it's a disaster. It's not something normal that you are going to build. That one is a disaster. Luckily, we were there. Wearing another cap, who were there, we know exactly what happened. What takes so long that you all managed to get the funding paper? I'm asking that from the Northern Cape province and also the national. What went wrong that a disaster? We are only receiving the funding 2012 of February. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Can you respond to the issue of land availability? What are the plans to address that? Because we cannot just say there's no land and then we fold our arms. What are the plans to address that issue? And then in this presentation, there is no indication of the grant purpose, the expenditure part of it. How much we have received this so much last year, by June or July, how much have you spent so that you can see that you are not going to spend your budget by end of your financial year. And then the other issue, I think it is very much important
the issue of your informal settlement upgrading. We still believe that you have to clearly indicate the units. I mean, are you doing the in situ? How many for in situ identified, and then how many for relocation, and then where are you going to? What are the plans? Where are you going to relocate those people? So far, the issue of salt lake is a concern. We understand that Salt Lake has got a problem of water treatment plant. What are you doing about it? You're going to tell us that you have not allocated any budget, and you knew that even prior to receiving this grant. Why did you to plan for it? What is the current position? What have you done? What are the interim measures are there to ensure that you address those issues? And then getting to the issue of that one goes back to the province. And yes, I think it's the province. The payment of service provider. How do you deal with that? And then I think the last one, the issue of renter, it's a priority. It's a priority outcome eight. You can't come before this portfolio committee and say, put 00. Well, I don't want to get to an issue of sanitation, because at the end I'll become the chairperson of sanitation. I don't want to become the chairperson of sanitation. But it's disgusting to find out in the farm area there is no program at all, of which there are several reports that came out from the Human Rights Watch as well, and not Human Rights Commission as well as other human rights people. And you are coming here to present that there is no plan for farms. Why I'm saying that? I think I don't want to talk about rape here because it's not about rape. But there was a report that was presented to say there was an allocation for the farm dollars, but I'm not sure about which municipality. And because of the distance, it was difficult to provide services there. And we condemned that as the committee. But I think the province can assist on that one. We cannot accept a report to say you can't provide basic services to people because of their distance, the rules, and so on, and so on, and so on. But I'm not sure whether it affects the Francis Baard district. In terms of the capacity that you're supposed to be providing to the municipalities, I think you need to come out clear what type of support, because we believe that even those municipalities, they won't have the capacity in terms of resources. But I think you have to support them in terms of technical support. So we need you to come up clear. What are you doing there? The issue of meat, we all understand that you are not going to receive meat. But the question I want to know, are those municipalities, those municipalities also don't receive their meat funding? Because when they're busy with their IDPs, you are there. The planning part of it, you are also part of their planning. And then when you do your district planning, their planning speaks to informs your planning. So you align with the resources. So it's not an issue that you have your own resources, they have their own resources. What is important here, we talk of alignment of planning as well as alignment of resources. So we need you to talk about those issues. Thank you. We need to stop.
On sanitation, I just want to check if you still have the bucket system, because we don't want to see that a toilet elections in 2014. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Chairperson, I'll respond to some of the questions, and my colleagues will then cover the rest. I just want to respond to the issue of Salt Lake, why minimal support is provided to Salt Lake. This is a product of the IGR. Consensus was reached that since Salt Lake is a high-capacity municipality, I think as a district as we're sitting here, our budget as compared to Salt Lake is just a drop in an ocean. They are sitting with billions, and then our current budget that was approved yesterday was 120 million rand. But however, we have not excluded Salt Lake, and for the fact that Salt Lake is also has been accredited level 2. So we are almost on the same par with Salt Lake. That is one of the reasons why you see concentration on other local municipalities as compared to Salt Lake. But anyhow, yesterday in our budget the approval, Salt Lake was particularly allocated 4.37 million rands. And one of the major projects that comes from that allocation was the provision of water of 150 households in a new informal settlement in Freedom Park, Richie, and also sanitation provision for 620 in the same informal settlement. Just to highlight that the district has not taken an approach of writing Salt Lake off, but to check that with the resources that we have in the district, how do we then optimally use it to cover the district? I don't want to sound like a politician, but if you go to the Northern Cape, you go to local municipalities like your Mahareng, they have been debated in the province whether Mahareng at some point will need to be incorporated into Salt Lake, because as a municipality on its own, it's really struggling. And that is a posture that the district has taken to say that in terms of major projects, with the limited resources that we have, we should rather support those three local municipalities, that is the Katlong, Pokwane, and your Mahareng. As it relates to Pokwane local municipality, indeed, we've been having a very serious problem, and then we've elevated to politicians between ourselves and Pokwane local municipality in terms of signing the service level agreement. It is on record as part of the council resolution yesterday. And just to inform members, our council meeting was supposed to have been today, but when we received this invite, we managed to get the favor of the politician to say let's rather shift it to yesterday, so that we can then make it to this important gathering today. The mayor, the executive mayor, will be taking up the matter with the mayor of the Pokwane local municipality, so that in the next technical IGR, which is on the 7th of the 7th of June, that matter is on the agenda, and then when it goes to the district IGR, it should then be finalized. On the issue of the qualification that we received previously, I think the CFO will also elaborate further. You know, it is interesting that in the previous audit year, we received a clean audit. Clean audit in the sense that it was an unqualified audit without letters of emphasis. Just a year down the line, we received a qualification, but it was more of interpretation disagreements that we have with the Auditor General. But the Auditor General is the Auditor General. We afforded them the right to then say their weight is final. But we are working towards that. We have adopted the action plan. It's two major issues. It's the one on supply chain in terms of declaring a declaration of interest of issues that matters that are below 30,000 rands. It has always been our view that we did not necessarily have to disclose that based on the policy that we have, but they had a different view. But there was also an issue on the cash flow. I think the CFO is better positioned to also elaborate on that. But luckily, the council has taken a decision. They've been looking at those two issues, and then we're continuously reporting to council with each and every meeting in terms of how far we are, and then also through the mayor and the mayoral committee. So that's one of the reasons why we say we're looking forward to having a clean audit. But also in the process, we've been having engagements with the Auditor General so that we should not be seen at the last minute, seen wanting. We are very thankful that the Office of the Auditor General is very supportive on issues that we think that we are struggling on. We don't know how to approach them. They have reached out to us and say they're prepared to assist us in that particular regard.
Honourable Chair, maybe I will just try to respond to all the financial related questions. I think the first one, I think MM already touched on, is the qualification. Now, I think from the district municipality side, we pride ourselves in terms of good financial practice over the years. We have received a number of clean audits for the past years, of which the previous 2 years was without any matters of emphasis and qualified. Like the acting MMF indicated, the opinion from the Auditor General side, they also indicated like that, is very technical. It's based in terms of the supply chain regulation, the declaration of interest, whether a person is in the service of state. Now, in terms of the regulation, it was indicated between procurement between 10 and 30,000, you have to apply and submit the declaration of interest. Although we were consistent since the exception of the regulations, in terms of the training, only above 30,000, where you will have to submit and disclose that declaration of interest. We tried with the National Treasury to resolve. We also had a legal opinion with regard to that. But unfortunately, we realized that we're not above the law, and we also have to comply based on the decision from the Auditor General side. I think from our side, what we have already done, we have corrected these things. We could have received an unqualified if we could have disclosed the regular expenditure with regard to that. But the Auditor General wants us to go back since 2005 with the exception of the regulation. And due to system problems, because we moved over to a new system, we couldn't extract that information in time to be submitted for us to still receive an qualified audit. The item will be submitted to Council now in June with all the irregular expenditures since 2005, and then we will have to disclose it in the financial statements, but we have already put corrective steps. The other issue was on the cash flow statement, where they just, according to the Auditor General, it was indicated like it was false balance. Our opinion was different, and we said it's the opinion of the Auditor General. Of course, they were quite happy with the cash flow statement, and then based on one issue that they picked up, they qualify the whole cash flow. But we in constant consultation with the Auditor of the Auditor General in order for us to correct that, and we're quite confident. We have already got all the declaration of interest of all the service providers we dealt with the past financial year to ensure that it's part of the application form to register on our database, which has been accepted or will be accepted by the Auditor General. So we have corrected that. That was actually the only issue. Just to give some peace in mind, I think from the total audit, I think our finances still sound in a good condition, healthy condition. We only received 24 exceptions in total on the whole audit. So it's only the one issue that really was a low blow, but we're confident that we will be able to correct it in a new financial year. Then also maybe just to raise the point, there was a question why the contributions to the municipalities actually increased from the previous year to the coming financial year. Like we have indicated, I think as a district municipality, we largely depend on grant funding. Almost 90% and more is grant funding. The rest is from own funding. And over the past 2 years, there was actually a decrease in terms of grant funding to the municipality. Our MIC funding has been taken away. Our equitable share has decreased as a result of the disestablishment of the district management area. So we are under real pressure in terms of allocating more resources. But I think, yes, as a municipality, due to good financial practice, we had some reserves. And the approach was that to release some of that surplus funding and to accelerate actually services. Because the local municipalities, especially the smaller ones, largely depend on the municipality's contribution to assist them with implementation of the infrastructure capital projects as well as on the operation and maintenance. So that is the reason why we will not be able to sustain it every year to put in such an amount, but for the coming year, 2013 budget year, we released almost 25 million plus towards project funding. Then also, I think the question about receiving or not receiving funding from the provincial department with regard to the housing function. how, when we started this whole process, it's not really a mandate of the district municipality to provide housing services. And I think when a function been devolved in terms of the Structures Act, you know, your resources and funding is also critical, and that was our point of view when we started the whole process. Yes, through the years, it assisted us with level 1 and also level 2 accreditation, but apparently for the outer year, it seems that there will be no allocation to the municipality. Now, like I've indicated, it's really going to put some pressure on the municipality really to provide services on our core mandate, namely water services, and to provide funding for that. Because if we take from the one side, you have to give on the other side or to compromise. And I think that is the one thing. If we're allocating funding for this coming year, there will be no funding from the department side for the housing function. So that the whole function for us to enable us to obtain a level 3 accreditation is from the municipal or the district municipality's budget. And we took it up with the department, and I think they have a different view. The only part that we're receiving is the portion which they were supposed to pay for the current financial year, that 1.25, and they have indicated to us in a letter that they will only be able to pay it in installments over the next financial year. So we even haven't received the full amount of the allocation indicated by the department. So to us, it's a concern to sustain the housing function, because the more you will take for housing, the less will be available for all our core mandate, like for water services, electricity services to the municipality. And I think that is something maybe that we need to take up. I think we already had engagement with the department. There are different views from national, provincial, in terms of how to get the funding. Then also, I think the reason why we want to put that money is for us to enable us to obtain level 3, so that we can also qualify for that the grant funding in terms of the housing, then to deliver the housing function in full. So that also it's actually a concern to our side. Then in terms of the spending of the grant, what we have received, there are monthly reports to the department, and I can indicate from the district municipality side, all of that money which has been allocated to the municipality has been spent. You know, there isn't any unspent funds what we have received in terms of the allocation. I don't know whether there's anything else which I've missed, but if then I can just respond to that as well.
Yeah. Okay, ma'am. I'll handle some of the technical issues. The housing manager will respond on housing issues. On the MIG funding, the local municipalities do receive MIG funding. We have quarterly, we have a PMU quarterly where we meet with them and the MIG unit of the department where issues are discussed and planning is done. On the farm workers, I think the presentation may have misled you. We do have a program for sanitation for farm workers. Over a number of years, we spend money. The current budget is 1 million, and all of it will be spent by the end of June. So it's a program where we provide the infrastructure to the farm workers with the agreement that the farmer then do the maintenance there.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff, I can just come back to the first question raised in terms of the 25,000 number and the stats that was in the presentation. If I can first do the stats there, that is the current projects that we are involved with the municipalities that by agreement that we assist them with. So if I can just take one, for instance, that first one, the Beerswachter 552, that's the total number of units approved. We've completed 447 units to date. Take into consideration that every year for that project, we only get funding for 100 units, which means over the last 4 years, we've been building 100. And that's why you see there's still units outstanding. For this year, we've received the last number. It was confirmed yesterday with the department. Initial allocation was 30 units, but yesterday the department confirmed that we can actually get the balance of those units.
So they will complete those projects. And that goes for every project. When the money is made available, and as the money becomes available, we actually deliver on those projects and we complete them accordingly. So that's why you'll see all the projects are still basically running. Some of them are just about to start. And like I said, it all is dependent on funding. So as we receive the money from the department, so we complete the project. So for all the projects, we only received every year we receive a portion, and then we build that portion for that year. In terms of the 25,000 homeless, that's for the whole of the district. Large portion of that is for Sopleki. About 9,000 of that is for the other three municipalities. So that 9,000 will obviously slot into the numbers there. So as you can see, of the 9,000, we've already secured about 4,000 units, of which 1,300 has been built. And so you can see it's going to take some time to actually work through that 9,000 units. Also taking into consideration that that 9,000 is actually growing. It's not stagnant. So in all honesty, Chair, I don't foresee us ever reaching that target with current funding. In terms of the...
What's the idea? I'm tempted. I think you need to make a breakdown of this outstanding unit. There's government subsidy. There's also a rental. And then there's also the gap market. So I think we need to have a breakdown of that so that we understand what is your situation. Because now, if we're just making a blanket approach, we will assume that 3,000 is for subsidy, state subsidy provision. So I think it is crucial that when you are bringing another report, you know, you want that report by next week before we finalize this report. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, can I just give you a brief breakdown of what those numbers are for the three municipalities, if you will allow me? But we will definitely include in the report for you. For the three local municipalities, the informal backlog number is about 3,200 plus minus. Project Link, as we know it, about 790. IRDP, about 100. ISUP, about 3,000. And then social and rental, about 1,300. So that brings us up to total about 8 plus minus 9,000. Take or leave a few, but so we have got the figures available. Let me put it in a report for you.
You said the informal is 3,000, about 3,000. Then where does this 20 plus or minus 25,000 people fall in this? Are they in the informal settlements or what?
Chair, it's a combination of all of them. Some of the people, like you would say, they're in informal settlement. But I mean, if you go down to the notification, what's an informal settlement? You know, some of these people do not have even an adequate structure. So, you know, it's debatable, but it's all of the above. All of them make up these different categories. All these categories make up the 25,000 in total.
Can I make your life easier?
Yes, sir.
You just go back and then you draft this report nicely for us, and then you send it back to us so that when we finalize this report for Parliament, before this report is adopted by Parliament, we have that information. Okay, can continue with other issues if you may still.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the Sopleki 40% backlog, yes, Sopleki is the major consumer of subsidies in the province in total. And as the MM has alluded to, Sopleki is going, because they are quite bigger than all the municipalities, including ourselves, they are actually adding on their own because they've got more money and they are being created on their own to do that. But there are still some services which we do assist them with. I've discussed the actual infrastructure backlog versus housing. Just to say that 92% is in. Chair, we can go back on that. Just safe to say that is the actual numbers that Water Affairs has provided us with. I think they've gone and done a study a while back, and that is the numbers that they've provided to us. In terms of the Kokwani SLA, Chair, I think the mayor, Evan, will probably deal with that one. Or should I do that? All right. The mayor will deal with that one, Chair. The ISUP is a priority for us. Safe to say that all of those projects that's currently listed there are all ISUP projects. Sometimes they will be referred to as IRTP, but primarily it's all informal settlements. That is a priority in the province, and that is the ones that we are addressing currently. Then the issue in terms of farm workers, if you look at the project Stillwater 150, that is a project for farm workers. It's not an on-farm, it's an off-farm project. It's an area where the farm workers have actually developed, an informal settlement for them, and that area is we're trying to develop it now. The town planning is done. The servicing is partly completed, barring the roads, and we plan to start actually the houses this year as well. So that is a rural but also a farm worker project, particularly. The same will go for Hanspan, the same will go for Kingston. If you go to those areas, you'll see the surrounding areas are all farms. So those people work on those farms.
Oh, thanks, sir. I'm sorry to take you back. I'm not satisfied with the stats from Water Affairs. Because as a municipality, they should know how many households have water, not Water Affairs. It means that this statement, this stat is not true.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the slide that is on the screen, I would suggest that the municipality look at giving us a broader report on these projects. As per municipality and as per town. Because as it is here, it raises a lot of questions, and we will not be able to, or maybe you don't have it, or give us, and I've actually asked this question and just want to make an example of one. Hanspan, there's a total unit of 684, then there's a zero units completed. So it means that the units are not completed, then outstanding is the same amount. So give us a better and a broader two or three slides on telling us what is happening around the project. Thank you.
The issue of water, let's forget it. Let's put it at the back of our mind. We can't... we can't rely on a stance from another department. Sanitation is here. It's here. We don't accept excuses that department is. We want a report from a human settlements point of view. It means that 92% you are giving us it's a water offense. And if we go back to that, we cannot say we're having an adequate sanitation to that respect, because the quality of those toilets speak on its own. The maintenance of those toilets, now you need to size doors. So we need an informed report directly from this human settlement's point of view. Into any is Leonina, into any is Boni Leonina,
and then you comment. We'll accept your comment. Try and, because that's taking much time, kula process you got. Let's agree with you, we'll never receive information. But again, I'm new colleague one. I will give you my colleague, I shall over with it. I'll not come out from a teta. But let's try and wrap this. Department, can you say something? Because Connie is big, so you but you have not responded to the issue of alignment of resources. I think question Honorable Bula has not yet been responded to. I think the other issue that has not been responded to is the issue of beneficiaries. How do you manage your beneficiaries? I want to say Pambana when it comes to beneficiaries. I've compromised. And land NHBRC and HDE. So department, can you assist them? Because we believe what do we normally say? In fact, what we have done to Nelson Mandela, I think it should be a practice. The report that is brought before this portfolio committee, it must not be a unilateral report. It must be a consolidated report by 3 years of government. But yeah, we are learning. Let's accept that. We are learning. But we are going to report after July. We are not going to accept a report by the municipality. You want to report by 3 years of government. You come before us and say, we don't agree with each other on this one. And then Zamuk solve that particular problem. Is that a level? We value it. Try to be brief on your comments.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I take note of all the comments that was made by the Honorable Members. I think there are serious comments. We need to address those gaps. And I think the reason behind all this is Northern Cape is a very vast province. And as I indicated previously in the Portfolio Committee meeting, that we have over 100 projects throughout the Northern Cape. And in every area you go, people want houses. That's all they want, houses. You know, and they're not even so worried about basic services, which is even more critical. The challenge we have is that our limited budget has to be spread. Hence, we can only give like 100 houses an annum because we need to address every other area or else we'll have an uprising. And we have major projects, like a project of 1,000 houses. We cannot do it in 3 years, which is more economical for the government. In fact, for the fiscus, we'll be saving money. We have to do that project over 10 years. So that is the challenge we are faced with in Northern Cape. And if you look at basic services, the similar thing is happening with the mid-funding. If you take Mafareng, as I speak here, it's a sad state of affairs. Their oxidation pond is not working. Their sanitation is disaster. It's actually disaster. If that municipality only gets 5 million for the NIC funding, and they require about 50 million to undertake that sanitation. So, Honorable Chair, I'm going to conclude by saying I will be able to respond in respect of all the other things, even the disaster management and everything, through a report to the Portfolio Committee. We'll give you a detailed report in respect of everything what we are doing, including the alignment of funding in terms of the project, how much goes into the project from MIC, how much goes there from the HSDG, and how long it will take. We'll definitely do so. Thank you.
Well, the last question, Neville, you have to ask this, answer this question. If there are areas that have this problem that has been raised now, what is the intervention of the National Department? Why am I raising this question? There are funds, 20% that is set aside by the National Department from its allocation. Why are these areas not being considered?
Nikhethe zinjani projects niya kuzo nithini nithini, whereas there are areas as critical. And I think the issue of Northern Cape, it has been a cry from this committee to say Northern Cape is spending. Now the district is spending, So that's why interrogator is spending a district. But because of the current allocation, grant, it's a challenge for Northern Cape. But if the department, that department has given authority by this parliament, it has been approved by this parliament in your budget, that 20% should be set aside to relieve the areas as net challenges. So if you can't do that in that 20%, why should we approve that 20%? You know, I'm sure you understand CFO, but I'm raising. So in the layen, it's in the layen, and from the independent, I'm touched. Go back and work your, the homework here. But Kabuki areas, isn't it? It's all like, yes, fine. He has got a lot of billions of money. But how are you assisting? Because we have accredited the municipality. How are you assisting them to utilize their money effectively and efficiently? Then they target these areas. There's an area, and that's not coming down, but there's an area of the worst problem. Water waste management. And so I think this message is to the department, not to the municipality. We can't approve a 20% and then now we hear the very same stories. It's unacceptable. Never.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in respect of the accreditation, one of the intentions of accreditation is to capacitate. So there's a pre-capacity and there's a post-capacity. And that's why Pascal is here. I mean, I think members of the committee know Pascal. And part of the accreditation process is to actually look at some of those deficiencies and correct them. So as a department, there's a commitment from our side to make those interventions, particularly in relation to improving the institutional, but also some of the project interventions. So that's the first issue. Secondly, in conjunction with rural development and land reform, as well as COCTA, this committee will be aware that Cabinet took a decision, and Amadi is here as well, which is closely monitored, that there are 22, I think it's now 23 districts, particularly districts which have been identified, and in fact all the district municipalities for the Northern Cape are included in that for special intervention. Because I think the point is that if we cannot deal with the poor and the vulnerable, if you still have women carrying wood on their heads, as Bob Mashoba and I took a photograph, and I've got it on my phone, so it reminds me of just how far we are from where we are, want to be, and particularly in those rural areas. So it's about that. But I think it's just also important for us in an engagement that we're having with the municipalities is what are those resource choices that we want to make. You know, it's not about a house, but it's about the complete package. You know, so there's this clamor for houses, and we're not saying that's not an aspiration people should have. But what is it that, I mean, if you can't have a proper sewer works, if you can't have proper sanitation, and that's the intervention. So yes, the 20% minister has said, we will, through the course of this year, ensure that the prioritized areas of interventions are what we sit and agree on are those. So it's exactly that. But I think what I just want to leave the committee with, it is a commitment through this process, and that's why Francis Bach is part of that. Through that accreditation process, we've made funding available to be able to just build up the institutional capacity, because sometimes there is a bit of undermining, and particularly in the Salt Lake, Francis Bach situation, there is that kind of, and it's to repair that relationship as well. Thanks, Chair.
My colleague, no comment.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson and the members. I'm going to answer on the issue of the MM. The current acting one will finish on the 30th of June. So on the 1st of June, we'll be able to appoint. We have already, of July, we have already advertised the post. And then the last one is on the issue of the mandate that was given by council to talk to the mayor of Polokwane. We are going to meet on Monday to deal with the issue. Maybe when we resubmit the detailed report to the committee, it will maybe reflect that we have already met and that SLA has been signed. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Councillor. I would suggest that let's close this matter. If there, I think there are issues that have not been responded to, but my office is going to submit some those areas to Neville, and then Neville can give it to them so that they can respond. Let's close this chapter. I thank you very much, the municipality of leadership of Francis Barts, Sanbulela Kakhulu, with your cooperation, and we are looking forward to work together because this is not your problem. It's our problem. The problem of human settlement, of settling people, is not your personal problem. Even this parliament has got a responsibility. So let's work together so that we ensure that the people receive the services that they deserve and improve their life. A better life, quality life. We can relieve the Francis Barts and the department, and we are left with people, legal people. Yes. I think we are left with legal people. Yes, 5 minutes, comfort break.